Welcome to Natural Recovery from Suffering. This is Scott Killaby. Do you ever, well, I know you have if you're human, experience like some great opening, positive state, realization shift, good day, or even stopping an addiction, taking plant medicine, anything that in a positive way disrupts the kind of continuous upset of suffering. You don't even have to think that you're done. It's just that you can experience a shift of some kind. And you know, you trust it. But then the other shoe drops. And so what does that mean? It just means that within a period of time, suffering will be back, either in the same or a different form, but from the same mechanism of repression. Because, like, if you could hear the unconscious, as soon as there's this big opening, or after a while, it's like, this isn't safe. We have to get back to producing suffering. The buried emotions and the unmet needs are behind all that. Freedom, enlightenment, happiness, transformation, these things are fine to the mind, but to the body that's driven only by a few basic needs for survival, which is safety, emotional safety, and love and approval. That's all that it's going to go for. If that repression conditioning is there with the unmet needs, it's going to go for the suffering again. It's not going to open to the freedom that, you know, the body's not just going to be suddenly free of trauma just because something's been seen. Because the conditioning hasn't truly been made conscious, let's say. For example, if you have an opening through plant medicine, you see layers that you could not see in your daily life. Those insights don't necessarily translate to true transformation or are not integrated. And so the body can't hold that. The system, it's a big no. But you're not aware of it. So you might tell yourself a different story. You might say whatever you say. But the truth being, if you go to the unconscious, it's not safe to open. And the system can really kick that in after a big opening. So I experienced it with my non-dual realization in 2007. Talk about, you know, the pleasure-pain cycle and the kickback to suffering for about 2.5 years. It's just, I don't remember any suffering. It's just presence and peace and even byproducts like bliss. And then cancer, sex addiction, spinal stenosis, which was chronic nerve pain, suicidal ideation. There's the contracting back. The pleasure was the opening in 2007. And the system, because there was anger repression, said no. And then it just, through a number of years, produced suffering. I did the research for this not that long ago, just to find the pleasure-pain cycle as it applies to these different things that we do, like plant medicine or an awakening experience, or getting sober. That's another area. Actually, it's the area where there's the most studies and the most findings. And AI told me this, and it makes sense if you think about it, but this may not be your world. I used to own treatment centers, mental health and addiction treatment centers. And so basically people have co-occurring disorders, is what they call them. So you get sober, but you have anxiety and depression, or you have this disease over here or this chronic pain, and there's no sense of how they're necessarily connected. With repression work, we can see how they're all connected. But if you don't do that and you go into the mental health or addiction treatment field, you will, like if you go to a therapist, you're not also going to be treated for chronic pain. That person has a different credential than the doctor. The problem is it often has one root or very common source in the buried emotions. And so a person can't experience holistic well-being, of course. But when you go into the system, if the goal is just to take away all of the addictive behaviors, that can kick in the pleasure-pain cycle. And so here comes either a relapse after a period of time, if the underlying drivers aren't being dealt with and the system isn't being regulated, if we're just, you know, stopping using something, then the system, that sends a signal to the system, create suffering. Could be a relapse after so many days, but it could also be a co-occurring disorder or an ongoing or exacerbating something. And we used to see it all the time. You could just see it in the charts of people over time, like a graph. You would see, oh, they're doing well, they have 30 days sober, and then they went back out at the 60-day mark, did heroin for 2 days, came back, a cycle of shame, too. That's part of it. It's like it wasn't just that they relapsed, but now they feel really awful about themselves. And the entire thing that they, you know, thought that they accomplished, this is why I'm not a big fan of counting time, because of how the need for love and safety, the ego, hooks into it and will refuse to do the right work that you have to do to prepare for this pleasure pain cycle. So they would come back, but they'd have to deal with these extra layers. And when you're feeling a lot of shame for a relapse on heroin or something, you don't want to like listen to how your system is creating that for safety. You just feel like shit. And so it's tricky, unless people are serious from the beginning in understanding the pleasure pain cycle and seeing that when they go for broke, it's okay to stop using all of this or this, but you have to understand there can be more suffering kicking in. If you don't understand where that's coming from, you're not prepared, or even worse, you don't have the skill to regulate, but mostly use it to transform, because this will be the cycle of suffering ongoingly until we make it conscious. But I'm just saying that when we get sober or when we have a big experience or do plant medicine, we have so much opportunity and it gets missed by so many people who don't process buried emotions. That's what Anna Lemke is saying. She's one of our experts in addiction, author. She says, yeah, you can stop using, but that sends the signal to the
system.
That's
not a condemnation. That's more suffering. An explanation that gives us a way in.
And I would add that then if your focus becomes on the addictive behavior, you're already
conscious the conditioning that's demanding,
not focusing on the root emotional
contracting back to separation.
And she says, we also process buried emotions. It's just easy to get off track.
It's a survival mechanism if you can,
because of the pleasure pain cycle.
Just some sense of openness and
expansiveness.
Because,
you know, if you look at it, our suffering is our pleasure.
Settled.
That's what
we're staying safe
gives
by
you.
Believing things that aren't true.
At a very
safe
deeply,
from buried emotions.
In a deeply embodied way.
We're getting love and approval through our suffering.
Until you're more settled in your being, you'll find that movement of like, okay, there's the presence, and here's the contracting back into this belief, that habit, that addiction, this sabotage. That's all part of it. If you can not get so identified with it and do the process from the awareness that sees all that, and know that when you're really identified with something, it's your system seeking safety. And that's where you want to bring the process in to make conscious the conditioning that's doing that. If you try to get rid of it, the cycle, that's just part of it, where it's like, oh, this doesn't feel safe, so let's get rid of it. But if you make conscious the conditioning that's doing it, then the system no longer thinks it's unsafe to be open. Over time, it just doesn't contract back. And then you are more embodied in what you are without that, I got it, I lost it. And I've been telling people that they'll report a big opening, and then I'll be the one that's like, well, okay, well, talk to me in 3 days, because I want to know what motivated you to go do the plant medicine or dig deep medicine or dig deep with KI or try to stop this behavior. Because our systems are taking care of us in ways that we're not aware of. And so, of course, that can be transformed. But if we don't understand that we're fundamentally seeking safety, love, and approval, when it snaps back to that, we won't see it. And we'll think of it as something else. We'll actually believe the thoughts that come up, for example, like I'm not good enough, or I'll never get better. But that keeps us safe. See, it's those needs right under it that we're not aware of. When that pleasure turns back to pain, you could say. There's many different definitions, not many, a few, of pleasure, pain. The one that I like to talk about, the one I'm talking about here, is the big pleasure and the pain. In other words, in some cases, the bigger the opening, the more the closing back. But as you open to the presence, as you have these shifts or experiences, you start to see it. It's not really that you are present, or you are settled, and or you know, you're free, and then you're not. It's this conditioning is happening in what you are. And but you can't use that, of course, to say, oh, it's all happening in me, so I'm not going to feel this or that. But still, there's an experiential knowing and seeing that even over time, this is how it works. Time is just a matter of looking back and seeing the process of like, oh, I'm open. But all that's happening within you. You just can't jump right to it's happening within me, because there's still a conditioning that will still contract back. Because it's not asking for our consent. It doesn't care about our spiritual resume. If we say, I just had this big shift 3 months ago, and I've settled all that, we don't really have any idea whether a disease is coming, and that the repression that was creating that is going to manifest in another way. How do you get to the root of things? Get to the root of things. Don't just sit around assuming that the repression that you do or do not know about in your body is not going to create suffering, when that's what repression is. It's there to protect you, to keep you safe from feeling that, so it's going to produce this or that whenever it needs to for purposes of survival. Why not make it conscious from the beginning of a spiritual path or healing process, if this is the mechanism? And then you can get rid of like the magical thinking of, well, I'm going to be done tomorrow, because your system doesn't want that. You might say that, but even saying that is a way of staying safe from the buried emotions. Like, I don't want to feel it. I just want to get through it. But that's part of the pleasure pain cycle, is thinking like that and seeking, of course, only to find there's still more suffering. A more mature approach, I think, is awareness-based, process buried emotions and presence. That's what the trauma research is showing. Bessel van der Kolk and others, and there's just a lot of good reasons for that. And this is maybe the best reason, because otherwise you get caught up in that loop of, I got it, I've lost it. And remember, when you think you've got it, the need for safety is being satisfied. This gets so many people. I train teachers, coaches, and therapists who start to do better. They come because they're burnt out, because they know there's something just like me that they're not seeing. But then they start to do better, and I'll say, yeah, but your mind right now that's saying that is hiding the body. The body still has needs for love and approval and safety. And so if you don't check in to the unconscious, that's going to take you right back out to get those needs met. And sometimes, frankly, as I've said, they're the most stubborn ones. It's been my experience, because of getting needs met. See, that's part of it, is like, if you have a healing or an awakening and you want that to be the end, you can build a life around it to help others. But that doesn't mean it's the end. And helping others could be part of the suffering. Very often is, because, you know, we're in these trauma bonds or these communities of teachers, students, and people are not getting the trauma, actually, quite often. Not really. And so it perpetuates it. But it's not just the quitting all your addiction or having a big shift or experience or doing plant medicine. It's like, let's say last week or 2 weeks ago, you tried to quit drinking coffee or something, and something else started happening. Either you went back to it, or there's this other issue. I don't know what that would be. You can fill in the blank. You know, like when our life is going well and people go, well, I was doing well. And then it's like sabotage, but I don't know why, because I was doing well. This happens a lot with like little addiction. What little means, you're not in rehab for heroin or alcohol, or still serious though. But it's like, you know, let me think of an example. Oh, this is what I'm trying to say. It's like somebody tries to quit smoking or doing something. That's not a little addiction at all. What I mean by little is not clinically treated. But then they quit and they're doing well, and they reward themselves for doing well by smoking. That's what I meant. And they're perplexed by that, but I'm not, because that's what the system knows to go to stay safe. If you're doing really well, that might not feel safe to the repression conditioning. So it kicks back in the addiction. But then the mind doesn't understand it. That's part of staying safe, though. People will loop like that in treatment around smoking and other things, not understanding how their system is really taking care of them through these different forms of suffering, which is not to leave the forms of suffering or the addictions in place, but to have a better understanding of it, the pleasure-pain cycle. Because this is what would help people, like if they do relapse, you would realize that's just part of it. But we couldn't get that in California. So Dan and I, you know, we had the treatment centers. We closed them because we didn't feel like that the state or the whole treatment field was supportive of people when they were relapsing as to what was really creating it. And instead it was like, well, stop using again. And then, you know, count the number of days. And if you can get back to 60 or 90 days, then this was just, we'll chalk this up to everybody relapses. It's just not a good understanding of it. It's so tied to their disease that they have now or 5 years from now. It's tied to how they couldn't speak up to mom and dad. It's tied to everything. To the depression that comes from repression, to the anxiety that science says comes from buried anger. It's all connected. Understanding that then, when, for example, someone starts to do better in one area, like their anxiety gets better, they don't understand why their chronic pain flares up. And they'll go to two different resources, to the doctor for the pain, and for maybe for some other issue, mental health, they'll go to the therapist. And there's a disconnect there, because it's the same repression, either creating it or contributing to it. Stress comes from repression. You wouldn't be stressful if you could feel and express everything. You wouldn't feel stress. So the extent they say even stress, but it's really that repression creates a lot of this. Our system is staying safe this way through suffering. So for example, it's just not unusual, and wasn't in our treatment center, again, for someone to have chronic pain. That's why they were using. They had addiction, and so you took the addiction away. The system said, well, you still have the pain. We're going to store the hurt and anger that way. And then the person treats the pain as not at the root where the repression is, but manages it. So the managing can't be addictive then, because then we're back into the cycle. There's a lot of control then that internally that person has to do to make sure they don't go back to the kinds of medicating that's really destructive, self-destructive. And a lot of that is just not understanding, not having a better grasp on the pleasure-pain cycle and repression. I'm a big fan, like Anna Lemke, when it comes to addiction, not of moderation, like she says, but of harm reduction. So just do things that are less harmful if your system still needs something, because you want to be able to feel your emotions. So you want to not use too many of those things that just drown things out, unless you just cannot keep your system regulated enough to do deep transformative work like AI. Everybody's different, but we can't have a, even that can't be shamed, because some people have to be on medication for a while until they're, well, just for a while, or maybe a long time. But at least they should know. I mean, look, we know that medications only treat the symptoms and not the root. And this is what we mean, that there's a root to things. And when the symptoms are covered up by the medication, you can't get to the root. It's more difficult. It doesn't mean, though, that something else wouldn't be appropriate. And that's such an individual choice. But that helps us, because if we're aware and we're reducing harm, then we don't shock our systems so much into like, I'm going to stop this. I'm going to change that. I'm going to go here and do that and finally be rid of this. And we're actually asking for more suffering in a way, because we don't understand the cycle. So I think we learned about it here by getting to the root and understanding that real transformation, you have to open to that, because it doesn't feel safe to the system. I mean, embodied healing and transformation doesn't happen overnight. That would just send us back into the pleasure pain cycle. Again, if we have those kinds of openings here, just like anywhere else, it's the trauma, the evolutionary trauma, the survival mechanism that will just take care of that and bring in the suffering. So life's the best teacher, suffering is, and all we have are really good tools and I think a good context, so that you can just live your life and watch the pleasure pain cycle. It's much bigger than this topic. Listen to my podcast, because I'm going to break it down even to how triggers, they protect us in relationship. Really simply, we actually stay safe by being triggered. This is just an example of pleasure pain in a different context. I want to go into it, and I will in other podcasts, but this is how big pleasure pain, the survival mechanism, is. When I'm triggered, then I'm not going to be feeling and expressing whatever I've buried. The trigger will be like, I'm not good enough, or will keep my mind active, or yours, and out of the body where the repression is. The repression will be producing that, just like in childhood, when you couldn't stand up to dad, or you couldn't show hurt to mom and dad. You had to believe things. And then so in your close relationships, you'll have to believe things and be triggered, because you can't be authentic now any more than you could when you were a kid, because of the buried emotions, which means that if a trigger works, it'll keep coming back. If it works to keep you safe from the buried emotions, survival, that's all that matters. The fact that you might want to be free of the trigger doesn't matter as much as the fact that the trigger works. And then when people start to process a trigger, if they don't get to the buried emotions, the system, it learns, well, that means keep suffering, because we still have buried emotions and we've stayed safe through the processing. So the system goes, okay, bypass again too. So suffer more and bypass. It's programming. Very easy to do just by avoiding buried emotions. Now, how's that tied to the pleasure pain? Because as long as we're avoiding the buried emotions, we're going to seek the pleasure, which means we're going to suffer. As long as we suffer, it kicks in. I mean, as long as we keep showing up false, for example, and getting love and approval from each other, it kicks in more suffering. So we're just sitting here doing it to ourselves, and often trying to work it out with each other, through each other, when truly each of us are generating this sort of internal, you know, suffering creating. We're all doing this. And to take responsibility for it in all areas, in relationship, and on a healing path like we're talking about today, is what makes the real transformation happen. Can you step back and look at your life? Can you step back and look to see how you've sought freedom or healing but snapped back into suffering? How many times? That's also the avoidant spiritual path, because by avoiding buried emotions, we have to keep doing that. Then how many relationships? How many times did you do plant medicine, or if you went to rehab? And if you're doing okay now, how many times have you believed you were doing okay only to kind of go back and never really get to that place where we're talking about here, where you feel free? You're embodied in that. I just want you to take note of that, because we just live with suffering and it becomes such the status quo that we won't even realize that we're living in the pleasure pain cycle. I mean, even something like procrastinating looks like procrastinating at the surface, but it's actually the pleasure pain cycle. We get something out of staying safe and not doing things. We stay safe, in other words, from the buried emotion, and then it just teaches the system, keep doing it. So keep avoiding the pain, get the pleasure of procrastinating. This is a huge topic, actually. But for this podcast episode, I want you to just focus on your path. You're listening to me because you're interested in transformation, healing, awakening, embodiment. But you do have to watch out for the big ideas. Like, you're going to come here, even something like an end your suffering, or finally be free or embody or heal, because to the unconscious, that's not going to be safe. We'll show you what we mean by that. It's not even safe in your own body to think of it that way. But living in and as presence and processing buried emotions each day, the changes just happen anyway, because it's safer to the system than going for broke or assuming that just because you did some mushrooms, now you're going to be free forever. Because it's just not happening for people, truthfully. And we're going to have more and more science and data to prove it. But I say, wait, why be a statistic? Why become that when you're living right now and there's enough information from Freud to the science on repression to Anna Lemke to Bessel van der Kolk to KI, which shows you the mechanism? What are you waiting on? Except for that there's pleasure in suffering. Truly, that's how we stay safe. If you're interested to start this path for free, there are actually three things that are free. The test to find your main repression, the tools to learn how to do the work, or the tool to start, and a video that explains the path. And you get all of that just for clicking on the link in the description. Thank you.